Well, I'm thankful to be here this morning. I never want to take for granted the ability to gather with the saints of God. I'm thankful to be at Camp Meeting 2022. And we sang that a while back in church. Once in sin's darkest night, I was wandering alone. A stranger to mercy I stood. But the Savior came nigh when he heard my faint cry, and he put my sins under the blood. And I can never understand why he sought even me, why his life's blood on Calvary flows, but sufficient for me. But he died on the tree. He has put my sins under the blood. We sang the song this morning, but the Spirit led unerring to the land I hold today. Satan has told me that I am not this and that, and I feel like I'm not this and that, but I have a testimony for the Lord. The Lord was worked in my life in ways that I don't understand, and my spiritual birthday is on July 4th, and I'm thankful for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And so that sort of rolled around, and I thought about where I was 4 years ago and the way that God has worked with me in those 4 years, and I'm not where I thought I would be 4 years ago now, but I'm thankful for the way the Lord has worked with me, and I'm thankful for the way that he's treated me as a son and chastised me and pushed me in the way, and this is the way, walk ye in it. But I read the verse this week in Matthew chapter 7. It says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." And I think I read in 1 Peter recently, and it talks about, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But it talks about being a partaker of Christ's suffering. And so I thought about the rain, when the rains descend and the floods come, and when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And so I felt like in the past however long, I've seen the rains descend, and I've seen the floods came, and I've seen Satan beat upon the walls of my house, but it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And I think I sort of picture this story. I picture the house on the sand and the house on the rock. I think I picture them both on the beach. And I thought about that, if sand gets on your rock, and if stuff gets on your rock, when the rains descend and the floods come and the winds blow, it will get rid of those things. And I think in trials, it exposes the rock of Christ. And I think in the last couple months of my life, the things have been melted away, and Christ has been exposed to me. And I'm thankful for him making known himself to me in the darkest hour of my night. And I'm thankful for the way the Lord has worked with me. I'm thankful that I can stand on the rock, that wherever I move, I know I can sit on the rock, and I can rely on the rock. And I'm thankful for that. I read the story of Rahab a while back, and I've talked about it a lot this year, and I'm going to talk about it again. And I'm thankful for the way the blessings of the Lord stick around, and I'm thankful for the way that God gives you something and you go through something and it pops up and it reminds you that God was there for Rahab and he's there for me. And so I'm going to read that today. Starting in the second chapter of Joshua, and it says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan under the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now, therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will show also kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother, and my brethren and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. You know, this is a story I learned when I was young, and I'm thankful for the way that God opens the Bible to you, and, you know, when you get sanctified and God opens the Word and makes it come alive, and I just thought about that verse. We've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. And so at this point, I think they had, this was the chapter before they crossed over the Jordan, and so, you know, when at this point, when God split the Red Sea, that was years and that was decades ago. And I don't think Rahab was very old, and I thought about that maybe as a little girl, she heard those stories. And, you know, she was a harlot in a wicked city. Probably not very happy. Probably not very content with her circumstances. But maybe as a little girl, she heard the stories. That maybe, you know, maybe she was in this place, and maybe she was subjected to this profession, and maybe she was doing all those things, but somewhere out there, removed from her circumstances, was a God who cared for his people, was a God who split the Red Sea for them, who delivered the country into their land. And just to think about the hope that God gave to Rahab, that she was disillusioned with her circumstances, that she was a harlot in a wicked city, but she heard the stories of Christ, and she heard that there was a rock out there that these people relied on. And to go down to read about the scarlet thread, and it says she let them down through the by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterwards may ye go your way. And I thought about that. You know, she had a livelihood in Jericho, and she had sons and, or not sons, a father and mother and brothers and sisters, and she had, her whole life was in Jericho. That was her place. But when the children of Israel came, she forsook that entirely. Her loyalties lied with the children of Israel, and you read about the story of Lot, and he pitched his tent towards Sodom, and then we find that eventually they moved into Sodom. And he lost everything. But you read about the story of Lot's wife, who left the city and looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. And I, this is just my opinion, but I read that Sodom and Gomorrah has huge salt caves. And so I think in a way that was sort of God's way of, like, you know, if you want this land, this is the entirety of what Sodom is. It's just salt. It's just earth. But to think about that, you know, Lot's wife was not a part of Sodom. That was not where she, you know, was from. But her loyalties lied with Sodom and Gomorrah, and there was destruction there. But Rahab spent her whole life in Jericho, we assume, and spent her whole livelihood and was raised here and lived here. But I just love to think about that. That she helped, I don't know, this is just me personifying her in a way, but I just thought about that. It was really pretty to me the way the Lord opened up her story to me, that, you know, maybe in times of trouble, she thought about that God, you know, when she needed comfort, when she needed somebody to go to, she thought about, well, this isn't all, you know, there's more. There's a God out there who cares for his people. There's a God out there who loved his people so much that when the Red Sea was in front of them and the Egyptian army was behind them, they were backed into a corner, but God opened the waters for them. And when you are backed into a corner, and that doesn't exist with God's people, when you're backed into a corner, he'll open up the walls. And so when these people were backed into a corner, the world's biggest army in front of them and a huge ocean in front of them, God opened the Red Sea. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. Amen. And so to read that with me today, whatever I'm facing, I know, because I can go back to this. The scripture says, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, ye might have hope. And so I can go back to that because God opened the Red Sea for them. He'll open the Red Sea for me. And so just to think about that, you know, Rahab, in times of trouble, maybe she thought about, well, there's a God out there who cares about his people. And And God saw her heart where she was. Exactly where she was, and I don't think it was any coincidence that those spies went to her house. And I think she, you know, these spies came to her house, and this was her opportunity. You know, this was her chance. She was a harlot in a wicked city, but God provided her a way out. And God does that for his people, doesn't he? And so, you know, she tells the spies to go, and it says, they agree, and it says, "Behold, when we come to the land and shall bind..." "When we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear." And, you know, she could have gone to the king. The king went to her and said, "You know where these spies are?" She could have gone to the king and said, "They went here, and I told them to go here." And she could have ratted them out in hopes of saving her city, but her heart didn't lie with Jericho. Right. And she said, "According unto your word, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came into the mountain and abode there 3 days, and the pursuers were returned, and the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all the things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, "Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us." And I thought about that scarlet thread, that when destruction is coming to a city, if you have the scarlet thread bound in your window, that saves you. And so I just thought that was a cool parallel, that the blood of Jesus Christ is our scarlet thread. Destruction is coming, but if we have the scarlet thread bound in our window, we'll be fine, and God will prepare us, and we won't be backed in any corners, and God will deliver. And so I just, to read the end of the story of Jericho, you know, they marched around the walls once a day for 6 days, and on the seventh day, they watched around 7 days. And starting in the sixth chapter of Jericho, I'm just going to read the end of the story. In the sixth chapter, I'll start in the 13th verse. It says, "And seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rear roar came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, 'Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city.'" And so I want to shout today, because I know the Lord hath given me the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And the 20th verse says, "The people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat." It didn't fall down halfway or mostly up, but the wall fell down flat. And I don't want Satan to allow me to think that, well, God might just deliver you, but only halfway. God has never worked that way. God delivers all the way. And so, and the walls fell down flat. "And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, on ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that spied out the country, 'Go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman, and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her.' And the young men that were spies went in, and brought out Rahab, and her father, and her mother, and her brethren, and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred, and left them without the camp of Israel." And it says, "and all that she had." And so I just thought about the children of Israel were marching, and she was packing up. She was ready to go. She was ready on the spur of a moment to give up everything that she had to be a part of the children of Israel. And I think that stemmed from the hope that was presented to her. And so when I think the devil, one of his major tools is to make us feel hopeless, because if we feel hopeless, then the devil can really work. But I thought about I think sometimes Satan uses circumstances and trials and temptations and all these things to make us feel hopeless. And I think the opposite of that, I think really would be blessings. But I thought about that rock, that we don't rely on the blessings of the Lord. I don't stand on the church or my family or my friends. I stand on the promises that God gave. The blessings stem from the promises, but the promises are what hold us, because sometimes the blessings seem dimmer. And sometimes Satan gets his grubby little hands all over our blessings, but I don't stand on those physical things. I stand on the spiritual promises that God has made to me. The hope that was presented to this woman in a terrible circumstance, the hope that was presented to the woman who had the issue of blood and pushed forward to touch the hem of the garment, the man of Bethesda, the woman at the well, the, you know, all of these people throughout, you know, Gideon was hiding in the night threshing wheat, and God came to him and said, "You mighty man of valor," that there was hope presented to Rahab, that she was a harlot in a wicked city, but God provided her a way out, and God provided her deliverance. And so to think about that rock that we have, that I have, that I can depend on, when Satan comes and tells me all kinds of things that are not worth repeating, I can go back to the promises, I can go back to the rock, and I can go back to Rahab. That she was in a hopeless situation, but God provided her hope. That she just heard about the stories. That's all she did. She just heard about the stories, and she believed, and it was counted unto her for righteousness. But I've seen more than Rahab has. I have the Holy Ghost, and that. And so I have a lot more to go on than Rahab did. And so if Rahab had that faith that God will deliver and that God will provide hope in our life and that she can stand on the rock, then I can too. And so I'm thankful for the hope that God has provided. And y'all just keep me in your prayers. Amen.